This week's podcast is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Please consider giving a gift to keep this podcast running along with other From the Top programming. Go to fromthetop.org.
What's one of the most important things about playing chamber music? Passing the melody elegantly from one instrument to the next. And today we'll hear a very young piano trio demonstrate how to do just that. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're at the Lincoln Theater in Yountville, California, in the heart of the Napa Valley, where we'll also hear a young clarinetist from Monterey serenade us with one of Mozart's most exquisite pieces and tell us about a visionary music education program he started. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks, everybody. And greetings from wine country, the celebrated Napa Valley. Bet you wish you were here. And no, we're not complaining as we take in the beautiful vineyards and sample the great food and exceptional wine of this American Eden. A very heartfelt thanks to our hosts, the Lincoln Theater of Napa Valley, for bringing us to Yountville. And we're going to get the scoop on the refined culture of Napa from a real insider. The talented 12-year-old pianist on today's show just happens to be the daughter of the head sommelier at what many people consider the best restaurant in America, located here in Yountville, the French Laundry. But for now, music is the libation of choice, and we've got some very young chamber musicians from just south of here to start things off. They all study at the San Francisco Conservatory's Preparatory Division, and they call themselves the Mondo Trio. They are violinist 14-year-old Matthew Chow, 13-year-old cellist Isla Zone, and our pianist is 13-year-old Hanson Tam. Matthew, welcome. What are you guys going to play?
We will perform the first movement of Beethoven's Piano Trio, number 4, opus 11.
When you're all set, take it from the top. I'm going to come turn pages for Hanson here.
Thank you.
Allegro con brio, opening movement of Beethoven's Trio in B flat, Opus 11. You heard the Mondo Trio, ages 13 and 14 years old, from San Francisco Conservatory, Preparatory Division. Their coach is Doris Fukawa. Exactly. Beautiful performance, you guys. You're a very young group of people to be playing this piece, even for our show. And I know you've learned a lot working on this piece, and you've actually worked on it for more than one term. I guess you guys like playing together. It shows. Hansen, what's one of the things that you've been learning and working on with the Beethoven Trio?
Well, one very important thing in chamber music is passing the line, and the line is a melody. And often what happens is one player starts the melody and then it gets passed to the other players and they continue it. And each player hands off and receives the melody elegantly so the music sounds smooth and connected.
Why don't you show us a section where that seems to be important? That's wonderful and bubbly, and I hear Hansen handing it off, and Matthew picks it up in like spirit, and I, it's the same sort of high-spirited, virtuoso style. What does it sound like, just for fun, if you purposefully fail to make that sort of passing of the line? Let's try that. My God, I resemble that performance. That's nice role playing there. Completely off into each one into their own little world. Matthew, what's another musical issue that comes up a lot in this piece?
Well, another musical issue that happens, especially in this piece, are the sudden mood changes which occur throughout the piece. We bring out these mood changes by taking a little time between each section to sort of set up the mood.
Okay. So your coach, Doris Fukawa, shows you how to do it the right way. Can you all demonstrate one of the big mood shifts without taking any time to define it? Just to bug Doris, okay?
Sure.
Yikes. That completely unprepared shift to D flat major really needs a breath, doesn't it, Hansen?
Yes.
All right, so let's do it. You know, Doris knows best. Let's see the way she likes it. Nice to clear the air and be ready for this wonderful, surprising, and very warmly played D-flat major. I mentioned how young you guys are compared to other chamber groups we've had on our show, but still, you've been playing this piece for how long, would you say?
A year.
A year. Okay, so in fact, you've been playing it long enough to take a break from it over last summer and then pick it up again. Isla, what does that feel like, you know, coming back to it? Does it hurt? Does it help? Is it two steps forward, one step back, or what?
Well, when we came back to the piece after the summer, we were noticing so many more little details as opposed to before, we were focusing on mainly the big picture. And it was sort of like reading a book for the first time and going for mainly the plot, understanding it. And then when we came back to it, we were noticing all these subtle differences that we had never seen before.
That's a neat realization. Hansen, how about you?
And also, we discovered the humorous and playful nature of this piece, and we worked to bring out the spirit and energy.
Because Beethoven can be very fiery, even in this very early piece. It still has those massive, you know, sort of dynamic shifts from soft to loud and back and forth. So, again, you know, some time off, some time away from it, you look at it with new eyes and new ears, and all of a sudden the humor comes through. Anyway, you guys, fantastic performance, and thank you for that bit of role-playing to illustrate how chamber music really works, and you guys really made it work. Thanks very much. Thank the Mondo Trio, all from the San Francisco area. Matthew Chow, 14 years old, our violinist from Los Altos. Isla Son, 13 years old, our cellist from Portola Valley. And Hanson Tan, 13 years old, our pianist from Hillsborough.
We caught that exciting performance by the young Mondo Trio on video, and it's just as much fun to watch as it is to hear. Check it out at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. And now, from just down the road in Napa, please welcome 12-year-old pianist Marie Kelly. Marie, welcome. And as our Napa emissary, what's the one place we should not fail to visit while we're here?
St. Helena. Definitely St. Helena. It's my favorite town in the Napa Valley.
I agree. It's great. It's got some shops and restaurants and a beautiful place, a main street to walk down, and gorgeous place. We're going to talk more about life in Napa after you play. What have you brought for us to hear?
I'm going to play number 2, 4, and 6 from Six Dances in Bulgarian Rhythm by Béla Bartók.
Great. Stage is yours.
Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
Pianist 12-year-old Marie Kelly from here in Napa, playing from Six Dances in Bulgarian Rhythm, numbers 2, 4, and 6, by Béla Bartók. Lovely playing, Marie. I mean, those Bartók pieces are, I know they're difficult, gosh, rhythmically so complex, but there's so much to learn from those pieces, and everything was so clear, the voices and the registers, and really dug in there.
Thank you.
Beautifully done. Now, before you played, you were describing the town of St. Helena, but I'm surprised you didn't mention all the vineyards all over the place.
Yes, the vineyards are beautiful. But after living in Napa for half your life, they're kind of everywhere, and so you kind of don't notice them after a while. Although they really are beautiful and breathtaking, but after seeing them all around you, they do get a bit stale.
You've got, I mean, you know, there are all kinds of people who have just, you know, a couple of vines planted in their front yard. I mean,
yeah.
Because just, you know, get blinded to them. I mean, like, they're garden gnomes all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
Not only are there vineyards everywhere, there are amazing restaurants everywhere. And
yes.
You ought to know. What's your connection there?
Well, my dad is the head sommelier at the French Laundry in Yonkville.
Oh, okay, yeah. So have you been there often? Have you eaten there?
I only was fortunate enough to eat there once, but it was a really, really amazing experience.
Now, when you just sit down to visit with your dad, do you have to make a reservation 9 months in advance?
Well, he's always working, so I don't see him as often as I'd like.
That's right.
But it's not a 9-month scheduling, fortunately.
That's good. And he's studying wine constantly, I would imagine.
And he is, yes.
He's talking wine. Does that kind of go over your head a little bit? Or?
A little bit. But sometimes I'll sit and I'll read his wine books. Mm-hmm. And those names, especially the German names, are just very... They're impronounceable, but when you do pronounce them, you feel like your IQ has been raised about 3 degrees.
That's good, because on the other end, there's a lot of brain cells dying, I can assure you. uh, You've got a great story, Maria, about eating at the French Laundry and thinking about music.
Yeah, well, the time that I went to the French Laundry with my family, I decided that it would be sort of fun to taste the dishes and then think what composer that dish tastes like.
That's right. I mean, well, for instance, you know, how many courses in a meal that you've had there?
Normally, I believe that there are 9 courses.
And that can go on for how long, do you suppose?
Well, they can go on for several hours. Ours was 21 courses, and it went on for 7 hours.
I'd be thinking about music, too. You know,
yes.
Why can't I be practicing?
You know? For about 3 courses, you're kind of done thinking of composers. I mean, thinking of 21 composers.
It's a challenge, and we love the idea, of course, pairing cuisine, fancy restaurant dishes with music, just as your father would pair them with the ideal wine. In fact, to have a little fun, we've pilfered a menu from the French Laundry, and we're bringing their famous head sommelier on stage to join us. Marie, would you please introduce your dad?
Okay, this is Dennis Kelly. He's my dad.
Thank you. Welcome, Your Eminence. Thank you for raising such a lovely and talented daughter.
It was a pleasure.
And thanks for being with us today.
We're very fortunate.
My gosh. Joanne, would you rattle off a couple of menu items in your most fluid restaurantese? And then, Dennis, if you would, suggest a wine pairing for that chorus.
Certainly.
And young Miss Kelly, will you suggest a composer or maybe a specific piece of music that would go with that chorus?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
First, we have one of the French Laundry's signature dishes, oysters and pearls. 2 butter-poached Island Creek oysters are prepared in a sabayon of tapioca pearls and finished with a quenelle of white sturgeon caviar.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, how about that?
I recommend a mature Blanc de Blanc champagne. Ceylon, it's Grand Cru fruit from a village called Le Mesnil-sur-Auger, and I recommend the 1985 vintage.
Wow, oysters and champagne, it sounds like a fantastic combination.
It's very classic.
Sounds really great.
Classic pairing.
Hey, Marie, so what goes with that, do you think?
I recommend the first movement of the Dvorak Cello Concerto.
Oh, let's hear a bit of that.
We continue with hen egg custard. Presented in an eggshell, this dish is topped with a ragout of Perigord truffles and then finished with an oblong chive chip.
Mmm, sounds great. Dennis, what are we drinking with that?
I'd like to pair a vintage Madeira. It's a fortified wine from an island off the coast of Portugal. Verdelho is the grape. It's a medium sweet style, just a hint of sweetness, some vanilla bean and maple syrup. It's just the right balance for that particular dish.
Absolutely beautiful. My mouth is watering. Marie, how about our ears?
I think that Die Moldau from Mavlast by Brigitte Smetana would be an appropriate.
Let's imagine eating that amazing dish and having that wonderful Madeira, and listening to this.
And now a cucumber sorbet, a savory canapé made with yogurt panna cotta, borage blossoms, and Niçoise olive crumble.
Mmm. Dennis?
Here we're looking for something bright, crisp, delicate, with just a hint of herbal tones. Grüner Veltliner from Leo Alzinger, Wachau region of Austria, 2008 vintage.
Mmm. How about that, Marie?
I was thinking the third movement of the Sonata for Solo Violin by Béla Bartók.
Why Bartók?
Because when I was eating the course at the French Laundry, I couldn't really decide whether I liked it or not.
I'm sort of on the fence with you on this violin sonata, yeah. That is heaven. I love that. I love the pairing of music and food and wine. My friend Matt Heimovitz did a string arrangement of the Goldberg variations, which they coupled with a wine tasting. So all of those variations had a tasting of wine. It was basically a classical musician's drinking game is what it was. So after a heavenly meal like that, Marie, what do you have for dinner the next night?
I've heard that crackers help with stomach aches, so...
Well, you're a good sport, and my gosh, such an honor to have both of you on the program.
Pleasure.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Marie Kelly, 12 years old, from right here in Napa, and her very cooperative father, head sommelier at the French Laundry, Dennis Kelly, who's going to leave us some leftovers, I hope, on the stoop of the French Laundry later tonight.
My name is Perry Choi, and I play the clarinet.
That's better. Okay.
I'm playing the beautiful second movement of the Mozart Clarinet Concerto in A major. The piece is undoubtedly the most beautiful clarinet repertoire I've ever played. It demands delicacy, careful attention, and concentration, even on the very first note.
Well, first of all, those who have clarinets, take a deep breath, and let's do long tones.
What?
Long tones. It's where you play a note as long as you can.
Oh.
Okay? Go ahead.
Music has done so much for me, and I want to give back. I want to share music with younger kids of underprivileged families. So that's why I started this program, Keeping Music Alive.
No, he ended that sentence again.
That's pretty good.
Essentially, I gather talented high school musicians of the area, and we go every Friday to Oasis Charter Public Elementary School in Salinas. We ask the children what they want to play, we get the instrument through donations, and then we give them free lessons.
My name is Jane Mead Roberts, and I'm the Director of Education. I got a telephone call from a young man who approached me and asked if I thought we had any children who would be interested in learning instrumental music. And my first reaction was, our families can't really afford music lessons, but thank you very much. And he said he would provide the instruments, he would provide the instructors, and I told him if he could do that, I would find kids.
It's been an extremely fulfilling experience. Knowing that you are creating the first musician of a family is incredible, especially since I'm the first musician of my own family. But it's not all music for me. I love sports. Although I'm not the most coordinated soccer player, I'm still on the varsity team because of my speed, and that's what got me into track. Towards the end of the track season, there was still one meet left, and my friends decided to call me up to see if I was interested. So I end up at the track, and the coach signs me up for long jump. I have no idea what I'm doing, so I have to ask a girl on the opposing team how and where to jump. But somehow, I managed to jump far enough to get into regionals.
One night in ninth grade, after coming back from one of the dances, we were sitting around, and all of us decided that the dances really needed to change.
That's a saying, one of my best friends.
So we devised a plan to take over student council, basically.
Along with Tio, another one of my best friends, we make a great group. We've stuck together throughout high school no matter what. Hussein's from Yemen and wants to be a lawyer. Tio's from France and wants to be a businessman. And then you've got me, the musician from Korea who may want to go into the medical field. Between the three of us, we've got it all covered. I'm an only child, so it's just me and my mom. She's awesome and taught me all the values I try to live by today. Did I mention that I'm 18? So I'm going to go to college pretty soon, and my mom gets really emotional about that.
Since Perry became the senior, whenever I go to Perry's event, like a concert, performance, whatever, I already project to next year after Perry leaving. Since last fall, every single event kind of made me happy, but at the same time, I have been really sad.
There are many definitions of success. Mine, doing something meaningful, knowing that at the end of your life, when you look back, that you've done something that you'll never forget, something that you can be proud of. When I get older and look back on my life, I want to know that I've done something great for others.
Ladies and gentlemen, now please welcome from Monterey, California, 18-year-old clarinetist Perry Choi. Perry, we so applaud your good works. I'm just curious, the idea for keeping music alive, what was the spark that led you to start it?
Right. So it was in my sophomore year, and at the time I was doing a lot of benefit concerts for other people, kind of community organizations in the area. And then coming back from one of them, I just thought to myself, well, why can't I start one? So at that moment, I called all the music teachers I knew, music stores, just kind of connections that I made from music ensembles, and just asking for advice. And from then, everything just started coming into place.
This kind of community service is happening all over the country, and it's so great. You just came up with it on your own. I want to remind our listeners that we've created an interactive map of America on our website so that musicians like Perry, who are making a difference in their communities, can find out about each other. We're hoping that all you educators and innovators out there will go to fromthetop.org and get on the map. Okay, Perry, while I head over to the piano, why don't you tell everyone again what you're going to play?
So we're going to play the second movement, Adagio, of Mozart's Clarinet Concerto.
Thank you.
Perry Choi, 18 years old, our clarinet is from Monterey, California, playing the Adagio from Mozart's Clarinet Concerto.
Christopher O'Reilly has just released an incredible CD. It's called Shuffle Play Listen, a collaboration with Grammy-nominated cellist Matt Heimovitz with music that blurs the boundaries between classical and pop. Available at store.fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Eastman School of Music at the University of Rochester. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. From U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. And from the Gruber Family Foundation, to help extend the depth of international coverage of the world's most significant issues. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. This week, we're coming to you from the Lincoln Theater Napa Valley in Yountville, California. Coming up, a dizzyingly fast piece for violin by Samuel Barber, performed by a wonderful teenage musician from Nevada. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Special thanks this week to radio station KDFC in San Francisco.
Hey, Elisa, what do you think of that?
Well, I would say that reminds me of how I sounded when I was 14, almost exactly 10 years ago on this show. And as a teacher now, I would have a couple of things to say about it. But
I thought you were wonderful. Please welcome, everybody, the now 24-year-old Elisa Jordheim. We're happily bringing back alumni performers from time to time, kids who we loved when they appeared on our show and have gone on to do great things, like Elisa here. Elisa, I thought you were great singing that Mozart. We fell in love with you.
Thank you.
You were only 14. I mean, the same age as the members of our guests
know.
Of Mondo Trio.
I know.
And then I remember you performing with Bobby McFerrin on another show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was, and you had such poise, and of course, the voice is so beautiful.
Well, thank you.
We're going to do a little bit more learning about where life has taken you since then. But first, let's hear the older and wiser Jordheim sing. What will you be singing?
We'll be doing three songs by Gordon Getty from his song cycle, The White Election. And the texts are by Emily Dickinson. And the titles are It Ceased to Hurt Me, I Shall Not Murmur, and I Like to See It Lap the Miles.
And as Elisa knows, and we're very excited, we're lucky to have the composer in our audience today. We're going to check in with him after we perform his three songs here.
It ceased to hurt me, though so slow I could not feel the anguish go, but only knew by looking back that something had benumbed the track. Nor when it altered I could see, for I had worn it every
That was beautiful, Elisa. I love that. Elisa Jordheim, everybody, 24 years old, an alumna who appeared on our show 10 years ago, originally from Wisconsin. She's now living in Cincinnati. As I mentioned, our composer, San Francisco-based Gordon Getty, is in our audience. So, Gordon, where are you? Are you nearby?
Thank you.
Great pleasure playing your music. How did you like it?
Oh, terrific. Good voice, good ear, good line. Oh, yeah.
Great. Is it actually true that you wanted to be a singer when you were young?
Yes, I did. And thank God you didn't have to hear me.
Well, you've written and continue to write all sorts of music, chamber music, orchestral music, pieces that have been performed all over the world. Gordon, do you have any advice you'd like to pass on for young composers?
Thank you for asking. First, while you're studying, humor your teacher. Try to do what he asks you to try to do. There's probably a reason, and it can't hurt you. But once you're out of the nest, once you're on your own, then the only listeners in the world that you're trying to reach or impress or do anything to is an imaginary audience of 1,000 people whose likes and dislikes and vibes are just like yours.
That's encouraging advice. And Gordon, we're very honored to have you here and great honor to be playing your music. Thank you for being with us. Alisa, let's talk now about your life since you were on From the Top. What's going on for you now vocally?
Vocally, I'm a DMA student at the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, CCM, and my cognate field is Scandinavian song and diction. Ah. And this summer I'll be singing with Cincinnati Opera.
That's right. And I know you've had a couple of great experiences with the Central City Opera Company
in
Colorado.
Yes, in Colorado, yes. I was singing with them for summers 2009 and 2010. And 2009, I was cast as Frederica in Sondheim's A Little Night Music. And the wonderful Sylvia McNair was cast as Desiree, my mother. And she's an amazing life force. She's a cancer survivor and is just an inspiration in so many ways.
Gosh, having Sylvia McNair for your mom.
Kind of amazing.
That's really amazing. Yeah. So you're doing wonderful things, but actually, you know, come to think of it, you've come through a real tough medical situation yourself.
I have. It actually started in 2001, about a month before I came on this show the first time. I had chronic abdominal pain for 6 or 7 years, and I was told it was in my head, that I was making it up. And a week after I transferred in undergraduate school to CCM, my appendix ruptured. And it became known that I had chronic appendicitis for that amount of time. So, and now I'm pain-free. And throughout that whole time, my singing and music really, it's cliche, but it got me through it. It really was my distraction and my pain relief, so to speak.
I just remember you being absolutely unfailingly sunny and positive. And my gosh, you know, having to thank God for a ruptured appendix.
It ruptured inside, and I had to have it removed on my birthday, which was quite possibly the best birthday gift I could have ever had.
I think so. Gosh. So now, you mentioned a focus on Scandinavian music.
Yes.
Where is that going for you?
My family lineage is Norwegian and Danish, among other things. But my paternal grandparents brought me back some sheet music from Norway, a piece by Grieg called Einsvane. And I learned it and loved it and wanted to delve deeper into that repertoire. And it's not very familiar to many people, and I would really like to make it familiar. So that's where stems from.
Great material to be
plumbed.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Alisa, it was such a great pleasure to play with you again.
Pleasure
and
to be
see
back.
You again, and all the best and all of your great work. And
thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Alisa Jordheim, who was originally on our show 10 years ago, now 24 years old and concluding her studies at the College Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Our final performer is on stage with me now. Her name is Nikita Hadung. She's from Henderson, Nevada, and she's 15 years old. Nikita, welcome. You told us that in your house, you grew up listening solely to classical music. You weren't even aware of any other music?
Yes, I had never heard of or believed that there was any other music until fifth grade.
What happened in fifth grade?
I heard a bunch of my friends talking about all these people that I'd never heard of, and they were playing some strange music.
So your parents, were they classical musicians or something?
No, my dad actually failed rhythm in dance class.
And how about your mom? Did your mom get you into music?
She did play a little bit of piano, but not really.
Mm-hmm. And how did she start you in music?
She put me into Suzuki because she believed Suzuki music would make everyone smarter.
Excellent plan. Your mom did the right thing. We're very, very glad you persevered. Tell everyone what we're going to play together.
We'll be playing the third movement of Samuel Barber's Violin Concerto, this really fiery, extremely
Indeed.
Exciting piece.
Very exciting. A rapid fire end to our show today. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for being here and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Nikita, we'll take it from the top.
Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Special thanks this week to Reed Mangan. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardios-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett with David Forbes and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, supporting research on how social factors like housing and jobs affect health. Learn more at rwjf.org. From the Doris Duke Foundation for Islamic Art, seeking to improve Americans' understanding of Muslim arts and cultures. And from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, promoting lifelong family connections for children and youth in foster care. On the web at aecf.org. This is NPR.